You're listening to Marriage Minute with Pastors Richard and Donna Spears, impacting marriages that leave a lasting legacy. Well, hello, everyone.
Hi, everybody.
Thank you for joining Marriage Minute with Pastors Richard and Donna Spears. We are just so thankful and grateful you guys are joining
us
today.
Good to be back with you all again this week. So another great week.
Yes.
We hope you had a great weekend, and we hope that this podcast will help you kick off your week in a great and powerful way.
That's right. So today we're talking about male and female roles in marriage. This was a question that we got a good bit of, you know, what are gender roles? What are the male and female roles in marriage? And people, you guys out there, you just want to know about it. And we've got some answers for you that are straight from the Word of God. And we are talking about marriages here. We're talking about faith-based marriages here. So we wanted to share our thoughts and our beliefs on male and female roles in marriage.
And I think the challenge is that in our societies today, the line has kind of been blurred between what is the role of a man in the marital relationship and what is the role of the female in the marital relationship. And so we probably won't be exhaustive today in what we're going to share, but I think it'll definitely give you a good foundation for what the Bible has to say about the roles of male and female in the marital relationship.
Yeah.
So hopefully, you know, you see benefit out of this today, and that it will give you some clarity about what roles really should look like
right.
in the home.
And so for me, when we were putting this material together, it's really important to understand that females and males, women and men, are very, very different. We think differently, we act differently, we process things differently, our priorities in life and family and relationship are different. How sex is approached is different. We are very, very different. And I think, you know, the feminist movement out there wants people to believe that we're co-equals in that regard. We're just as strong and just as this and just as that.
Well,
and,
you know, you hear the terminology that we're all humans. Well, I'm not going to go down a rabbit trail other than to say that there's an agenda behind that to try to blur the lines again of gender. There are gender differences. It's not really about gender neutrality because, again, from our biblical worldview and what the Bible says, God in His Word says He created male and female. And so we stand on that and we believe that. And we actually see that. If you just think logically and you look at things in the natural, you can see that that's even in animals throughout the planet. So God created that so that there could be a reproduction of us as people so that He would have a family.
Well, and God created us so differently in the way that we physically look, which is the most obvious thing, but also in the way that, like I was saying, in the way that we think and process, not to say that one is lesser than the other, but it's to honor that, it's to cherish that, it's to really love that in yourself and about that other person. It's not a hierarchy thing.
Right. So think about like Christmas as an example. For us guys out there, you know, there's like a process that we go through. It's linear. It's sequential. We look at, say you have like five gifts sitting around you. You know, we're not going to open them all at once. We're going to open each gift one at a time, and we are going to really look at that gift and be appreciative of that gift and really, you know what we've just received. You know. And I think females are different.
Yeah, so females are like 10-year-olds on Christmas morning. We open everything up. We want all the boxes open at the same time for everyone to see and experience with us.
Yeah. So it's just an example of just how we process differently and how we see things differently. You know, guys, you know, we're more explorative. We are into like how do things work. You know, I'm always like, my wife's always like, okay, Richard's trying to figure this thing out now, how it works, what's put together, how it's made. I'm just inquisitive that way. Maybe not all guys are like that, but I'm kind of like that. I think most of us are.
Yeah.
And we're also determined to fix things. I mean, even in our relationships with our spouses, you know, they bring a concern to us or whatever. And, immediately I know my response is I want to try to fix it for her. But mm-hmm. sometimes that's not exactly what
sometimes
she's looking
for.
She just wants me to listen. So, right. you know, that's again, a difference between us. And then we like to know as guys, what's next? What's the next thing in store? Because we're adventurous that way. You know, we're always looking to conquer the next thing. And we're very opportunistic. A lot of times we initiate. And we can be very aggressive and competitive. And dominant at times. Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. those are just some of the traits as men mm-hmm. that we have.
Yeah. Yeah. As females, we're really confident within ourselves for the most part. We value intimacy. We're very receptive. We seek security, caring. We are loving. And we like to use words to communicate how we're feeling. We desire equity and submission at the same time. We like to feel connected, but I feel as women, and this is just my own words, that we're just more complex.
I can't figure you out.
Maybe sometimes people want it that way, right? Maybe women we don't want to be figured out
right.
because that's just not how we do life,
that's
I guess.
That's the allure of for the man to want to chase after and
maybe
understand
so.
His lady better. That may be part of it, right? But in a marriage that is God-centered, mm-hmm. there are specific roles for the husband and for the wife, according to the Bible.
There is. And that scripture, specifically what we're talking about, is in Ephesians chapter 5, and it's verses 21 to 32. We're going to read that here for you.
And we think it's very important that we read scripture and share scripture
yes,
with you because
yes.
it really lays the foundation, number one, for what we believe, but it just gives you a perspective of what the Bible talks about. So if you're really wanting to understand and clarify what are the roles of a husband and a wife, this helps. So let me read that. Ephesians 5, starting in verse 21. And it says, "And further, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ." So again, there's a submitting to one another.
Mm-hmm. Initially, we submit to Christ,
yes,
first and foremost.
That's first and foremost. Mm-hmm. But for wives, this means to submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For a husband is the head of his wife, as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of his body, the church. As the church submits to Christ, so you wives should submit to your husbands in everything.
Mm-hmm. Continuing with 25, for husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. That's huge.
Yes.
He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. This is talking about Christ and the church, mm-hmm. which is the example. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without a spot or wrinkle or any blemish. Instead, she will be holy without fault. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. For a man who loves his wife actually shows love for himself. No one hates his own body, but feeds it and cares for it, just as Christ cares for the church. And we are members of his body.
So that's very powerful for us guys, and what Christ is calling us to do as husbands, mm-hmm. to love our wives like we love ourselves. Mm-hmm. If we're not caring for our wives, we're not actually caring for our own body. You know,
that's
in
right.
the Bible, it says the two become one flesh. So when we're joined together mm-hmm. in marriage under God, we now, each of us, but more specifically to us guys, we have a responsibility to care for our wives and to nurture and support them mm-hmm. and to protect them. This is a very, this is not like a suggestion. This mm-hmm. is actually a commandment
right.
to do these
right.
things.
Absolutely.
And so then you have to start to check your heart and make sure, is my heart in alignment with what Christ is just telling me to do as the husband?
And I think, you know, from a woman's perspective in this day and age, you might hear, well, I don't, you know, need a man to take care of me. I don't need my husband to do this or do that. But really deep down, if you really do some introspection, you really seek the Lord on it, women on the whole in general want to be protected. We want protection from our husbands. We want to be nurtured by our husband. We want that affirmation from our husband. We want to be sheltered under his wings of protection. And I don't care who you are. Mm-hmm. That is just the nature of a woman. Now, life experiences may have taught you that you need to be tough, you need to be hard, you need to take care of yourself and be independent. I can relate to that, and I have to fight that because that is not honoring to the relationship of and the covenant of marriage. That actually causes separation and isolation, and that's not what God is calling us to do.
No.
So that there's a lot of submitting in that from the woman's side too, to really just be honest and say, you know what, I do need my husband's protection.
Yeah.
I do need his love. I want love from him. You know, I want that protection. I want that safety, yeah, if you will.
And this may be, you know, obvious to you men out there, but just to give you an example of protection as an example, what can that look like for us as men toward our wives? So let's just say this is just how the particular responsibilities are set up in the home. So I'm responsible for paying the bills and those types of things, getting the cars maintained, those kinds of things, right? If my wife doesn't have confidence in me, that I'm getting bills paid and we're getting electricity shut off or whatever service that we're losing, we're getting phone calls.
Hey, this is threatening phone calls about it. Yeah,
there's a lot of stress there that we're placing upon our wife, and at that point, that's an example of our spouse is not feeling protected.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, if we've taken that responsibility after, you know, you've had a conversation about expectations and each of you understand your roles and responsibilities within the home, then you have to follow through and do that. Because when you don't do that, you actually are showing your wife that you're not protecting her. So that's just a simple example, but it plays out that way.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, hopefully that's practical enough that you can kind of see that, which I think you do.
And so what we're talking about, is that the husband being, as Scripture says, the head of the household. So being the head in the biblical sense means the husband is responsible to initiate the love and self-sacrifice for the well-being of his wife.
Yeah.
It does not mean that the husband must be spiritually older than his wife, nor does it give the husband a license to insist on his own way. He, the husband, is only to call for God's way.
Right.
If that makes sense.
It makes sense because it's so easy for us to, you know, operate from, you know, our human perspective, right? Yeah, we're made up as a human being. I'll use that word again. But as a human being, we're made up in three parts, right? We have a body, a physical body. We have a soul, which consists of the mind, the will, and the emotions. And then we have a spirit person. So we're three also in one, as God is three in one. And so the problem sometimes is that we can operate out of that soulish realm. And we're really not operating from the spiritual realm that lies within us as well. And so when we start to operate and act in ways from that soulish realm, then that will have a negative impact upon our marriage and our relationship with our spouse.
And that's where things can lead to be abusive and taken advantage of, the quote-unquote head of the household role type of thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it becomes selfish in nature because then you're operating from the soulish realm where you want what you want. And you don't care what kind of demand or what kind of environment your home is in, because as long as you're getting satisfied with your needs, then everything's okay for you. So, but when you operate by the Spirit of God will lead you into all truth, especially, and we want to always point to this, and we do this frequently, is that you've got to read the Word of God and what He says about marriage, what He says about your life specifically. And when you operate from that place, that place allows you to be healthier in your relationship with your spouse.
It's really about understanding, like you said, those male and female roles according to the Word of God, where it's really a blessing for both of us. You know, it's not something that we do not look forward to, you know, in honoring one another, me honoring Richard as the husband and the head of the household, and him honoring me as the wife. And the keeper, if you will, of the household. So it's really meant to work in harmony together and to bring out the positives in a biblical marriage.
Right, right.
So some of the primary roles for a husband, we've got some scripture here. You guys can jot those down or listen back and jot them down. So one of the primary roles for a husband is to grow in Christ continually, yes. to continually be growing in the Word, in his spiritual life, because if you're not, how can you lead your home as Christ, and love your home as Christ loved the church?
That's a great point you're making, because, you know, think about that back in the story of in Genesis of creation. God created Adam. He created Adam first, and then he made and created Eve from Adam. And you can read this account if you haven't read it before. But what I'm getting to is that when the fall happened, when Eve was deceived by the serpent, which was the devil, to take of the fruit, and she ate, and then she offered it to Adam, and he ate. Now, when they had realization at that point that there was evil in the world and that there was sin in the world at that point, they hid themselves from God, and God came looking for them in the garden, not because he was angry at them, but it's because he loves them and he cares for them. Mm-hmm. But when he asked them questions, where are you? Why are you hiding? They said, well, we're naked. He goes, who told you you were naked? Mm-hmm. And so he said, did you eat of the tree that I told you not to? And they did. And so when God approached that situation, he was actually speaking to Adam. He was addressing Adam. If you read the scripture in the first, I think, three chapters of Genesis, you'll see that God was actually addressing Adam. Why do I say that? Because God sees the man as the spiritual leader of the home. And so he sees him as the lead and to take responsibility for himself and his family. And so in that case, Adam didn't do that. But what we're called to do in the New Testament, we're called to be, and even from the Old Testament, we're called to be leaders in our home spiritually, as Donna mm-hmm. was saying. Mm-hmm. And so we have to step into that role and lead our families from that place.
That's right. Because, you know, I'm just going to put it out there, you know, with the man and the male in the relationship, you are to be the rock. You know, you obviously God is our rock, but in the marriage scenario, you're the rock, you're the steady. We need you as wives. We need our husbands to steady the boat. Women are typically more emotional. That's just a fact. We can ride the waves of emotion, and we can react out of those places of emotion. And we need our husbands as counterparts to calm that down, to calm that storm down. So growing in Christ is huge, mm-hmm. not just for the husband, also for the women as well. But we're speaking about husbands. That reference would be 2 Peter 1:3-11. You can read that on your own. Another role of a husband is to love his wife. We talked about that. The scripture mm-hmm. is Ephesians 25:33. Colossians 3:18 says to not be bitter with your wife. I know that's very difficult because sometimes, you know, we can get on a rampage, or we can sound like what quote unquote drippy faucets, right? Because we're complaining about something, we're worried about something, we're scared, whatever. And there would be a tendency or a temptation for the husband to, hey, just get over it. You know, what we're talking about here is relationship, to love and to nurture, right. Have compassion and empathy, you know, on your wife. So like I said, that's Colossians 3:18. A huge role for the husband is to teach, to set the example for his wife and for his children. That's Ephesians 5:26. Yeah. We need that. You know, we need that spiritual headship, that spiritual leadership. You have your own walk with God, ladies, and that's great. But as far as the spiritual temperature of the household and climate of the household, you know, that really does come from the male's mm-hmm. perspective.
Right.
The woman, you know, we've seen it a lot where ladies will bring their children to church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, and you never see the dad. Mm-hmm. And ultimately that ends in failure, because until the father jumps on board and wants what's best biblically for his family
and for himself,
frankly. It's not going to happen.
Well, it's out of order.
It's out of order.
It's out of order.
It just isn't.
When the husband isn't leading the home and from the spiritual perspective, mm-hmm. seeking after God, growing in his own relationship with God, How can he lead his family
exactly
in a proper way? It's out of
he
order.
Can't.
So your family can't thrive.
No.
And God wants you to thrive. He's not, God doesn't put these promises and commands and things like that down in his word
mm-hmm.
because he's trying to be difficult.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually giving you a pathway for blessing.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we don't follow that, we're actually outside of that pathway of blessing and we're going to get what we're going to get.
Yeah.
So when we don't have harmony, we don't have peace, we don't prosper in all aspects of life, we have to come back to us guys, and we have to say, am I doing the right thing in my home? Am
That's
I
right.
leading properly from
That's
a biblical
right.
perspective?
And I can tell you, husbands, if you are not taking your wives and children to church, you are hindering their spiritual growth.
Mm-hmm.
They will not be, nor will you be, all that you can be, all that the Lord has for you in your life, if you're not in relationship with God and you are not showing and setting that example for your wife and for your children.
Yeah.
That's probably a whole nother episode.
That's a whole other episode.
Another role of a husband, primary, there's lots of roles for husbands and men. So, you know, you can always Google all that, but is to lead, to protect, and to provide. And we've talked a lot about that. That's more specifically defined in 1 Corinthians 11:3. So husbands,
this is kind of a summary, right, of
yeah,
what you just said.
Yeah.
So husbands really are, you know, providers,
mm-hmm.
we're protectors, we're leaders,
yes.
and we're teachers.
Yes.
That's really kind of a summary of what you just said for husbands.
And some people hearing this might think, I can't be all those things. How can I do all that? That's just so much to think about. You know, if you're not in this full on right now, baby steps.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God will fill. First of all, get a relationship with Jesus Christ, because without that, none of this is possible.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, ask the Lord to fill you. He will give you, as soon as you say yes to Jesus, you are filled with everything that you will ever need. Now you need to appropriate that, and you need to practice, and you need to walk in it for a while,
sure.
and you got to learn, right? Babies start off on milk. They don't start off with steak. So,
right.
So there is a process, and we get that. But husbands, just so you know, you are the provider.
Mm-hmm.
You are the protectors. You are the leaders, and you are the teachers. Whether you want to be or not, whether you decide to grab a hold of it or not, it is your God-given right
and responsibility
to be that for your wife and for your children.
Again,
you will be blessed if you can jump into this.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, hey, let's switch over to the wife. So a wife's responsibility is to help the husbands become all that God wants him to be,
mm-hmm.
in the same way that God helps us become who he wants us to be.
Right.
So in Ephesians 5:33, the Bible commands wives to respect their husbands. I know when I just read that, I probably got a lot of hair bristling up on the back of ladies' necks. And I apologize, but I don't, because, again, we're just speaking what the Bible is saying here. And then this is what we align our lives with, Donna and I do.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the Bible says and commands wives to respect their husbands. This means revering, admiring, and honoring their husbands. So these are very important characteristics, very important traits that God is asking ladies, you ladies out there, to really emulate and to do from your heart, from a right spirit,
exactly.
toward your husband. Now, it's not always easy. I mean, you know, hey guys, just to speak to us guys, we're not always, you know, respectful and respectable. We don't do things that honor respect. So you have to do your part and be respectful. And so that your wives, you can make it easier for them to respect you. But
yeah.
regardless of that, even if there were some there's still challenges in the marital relationship and the husband isn't quite, you aren't quite there yet in stepping into your role as a biblical husband and a godly husband, wives, you're still called to respect them and to revere them as head of the home. So I don't try to paint that picture to say if there's abuse in the home, if there's things like that, that you should just sit there and take it. No, we're not saying that, and we don't advocate abuse in any form or fashion, emotional, physical abuse whatsoever. So you need to get help if that's happening. But if it's just, you know, the conflict here or there, it's just the daily grind of life, and you get into, you know, challenging conversations and arguments at time.
That's life. Yeah.
We even Donna and I
yeah.
do that.
Yeah.
We don't have a perfect situation here.
Right.
So you still need to have respect for your husband.
I think what we're trying to say men out there for and women, be pure before the Lord, right? We can respect that. A husband can respect that from his wife, and a wife can respect that in her husband. Men, if you are, and ladies, I guess this goes both ways, if you're out there looking at porn, if you're out there in the world doing worldly things that are not honorable, and you wouldn't stand before God and say, hey, yeah, I looked at porn and masturbated last night,
yeah.
Right? If that's the kind of stuff that you're doing and there's a perverseness within you, that's not respectable.
Mm-mm.
So you need to take that before the Lord. Ask the Lord.
Not only is it not respectable, it's sin.
Right.
And so it's not even honoring before God.
Exactly. And so those are the kind of things, you know, if husbands, if you're harsh verbally, if you tell your wife that she's no good and can't do this and can't do that, or she's not beautiful, or she's ugly, that's just not respectable. So someone who is operating in an ugly spirit, if you will, in just unhealthy mm-hmm. behavior and talk and tone, you cannot expect your wife to respect that. You got to clean yourself up, and only Jesus can do that. And so you need to just get before God, and you need to ask him to purify your life.
Right.
Because he's done that for Richard, and he's done that for me. We had a lot of stuff that we needed to let go of and allow God to just burn away out of us in order for us to really see our true selves and to be able to walk in that biblical marriage and that godliness that God is calling us to. So check yourself. Check what you're doing. Do you stand out from the world? If you are professing to be a Christian and you are in a marriage, a biblical marriage, but you don't look any different than Joe Schmo down the street who is not a Christian, then there's something wrong with what's going on in your life.
Yeah.
Get before God and beg for his purification, because yeah. he just needs to strip it away from you, and he will and he can, and just believe for the goodness of him to just flow in and through your life.
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
we get that not everyone is respectable, but God can make you respectable.
Yes.
He can turn things around. He's done it in our lives. We are speaking from experience here, from our marriage, and we aren't just throwing something out that we read online. This is true life experience. You can ask our children. You can ask our friends. They know that we've been to the pit of hell and back.
Right. So guys, you know, I hope that what you just heard from Donna, my wife, speak.
Sorry about that. What he's trying to say is, I'm speaking from the heart. I'm really passionate, as you can tell, about getting right before God, purifying yourself,
yeah,
and just allowing him to bless the marriage that you're in.
Yeah, so what I was going to say before my phone rang, forgot to turn the volume off. Guys, I hope you take to heart what my wife just said. Very, very powerful truths she was sharing there. And she was really challenging you,
to
take an inventory and to look at yourself. If you really are asking the question, is my marriage the best that it can be? Am I doing everything that I can, you know, as it relates to what the Bible calls me to do? Am I doing that or not? If I'm not, look, you know, we, like Donna said, it's baby steps. It's not like you have to have it all figured
exactly.
out. But you
it
have
took
to,
us a while.
It took us a while. You have to start the process. You
mm-hmm.
have to start to go down the road of doing a self-evaluation, putting yourself before God and allowing him to do a work in you, because
Amen.
You're not going to be able to do it on your own.
Yeah.
You need someone in your life, God being the person, Jesus being the person, Holy Spirit living in you, if you've given your life to Jesus Christ, living on the inside of you to kind of help, not kind of help, to transform
yes.
your life into the man that God called you to be.
Amen.
And for your spouse.
That's a great challenge
so
out there.
So let's move to the ladies. So the primary roles of a wife, the first is to be godly before your husband. So some might say, well, what does that mean? Well, think about just modesty as an example.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's so many, you know, and I'm not bashing on you ladies, but, you know, some ladies are dressing very provocatively out there. And so, you know, it's low-cut dresses or tops or whatever, super tight jeans or, you know, high-cut skirts, whatever the case might be. And, you know, there's just a lot of flesh that's being shown there. Mm-hmm. And that is a huge temptation for men because mm-hmm. men are very visual.
Very visual.
And so, you know, it's... I know we have to control ourselves, and I know we as men, so I'm not saying that men shouldn't take responsibility for themselves, but when it's everywhere, and if it's coming specifically from our spouses, it makes it that much more difficult. And how does that even look toward other men when you're together as couples amongst society? I mean, again,
ladies, if you're dressing in a manner that you're trying to attract the attention of another man when your husband is by your side, you know, or you have a husband, that is so wrong.
Yeah.
That is not being godly before your husband. That is tempting and enticing other men to look at you in an unhealthy, in a sexual way that is not honoring. And if you want that from other men to make your husband jealous, then let's look at the reason why that is. Let's not try to manipulate your husband into paying more attention to you. Let's talk about and get real with one another about the why he's not giving you attention, or the why what is that unhealthiness in you or me that makes me want to show cleavage or dress in a provocative way. So we've got to get to the root of why we do what we do. And we talk about that on our live broadcast and in our podcast to understand truly where that behavior is coming from.
So the scripture in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 10 talks about how women should adorn themselves mm-hmm. or how they should dress mm-hmm. And how they should make themselves attractive. It should be by the things that you do, mm-hmm. right? If you're doing godly things, if you are seeking after what God's heart is for and you align your heart with that, that's what makes you attractive. And that there's a depth there that's beyond the surface level thing of how I look on the outside, my appearance on the outside. Not that people can't look nice on the outside. That's
exactly.
not my point. But
exactly.
what's going on the inside? I remember Jesus having a conversation with some Pharisees, and he called them whitewashed tombs because they looked good on the outside, but on the inside, their hearts were not pure. They mm-hmm. were not right, and mm-hmm. their motivations were wrong. And so that's what you have to check, ladies, is that why am I dressing the way that I dress mm-hmm. at times? Mm-hmm. Why do I act the way I do at times? All of that matters, and it really comes from a heart condition.
Yeah.
So the second thing, and we've already kind of touched on a little bit, is respect your husband. So we're not going to labor that because we've already done that, but that's the scripture in Ephesians chapter 5, 22 through 24, and I think verse 33 as well. The third thing for a wife's role in the home and with her husband is to be a helpmate. And that comes from Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. And so it's God, when he said this in his word, in that scripture, he said, I need to make a helpmate. I need to make someone to complement Adam, to help the man. Because one, God said, you know, when he created man, he saw that Adam was alone. He said, look, this isn't good. Mm-hmm. This isn't good for man to be alone. He needs to have a helpmate with him to help support him and compliment him. Mm-hmm. So that's another point for the ladies. And the last point is to love her husband.
Mm-hmm.
That's a huge role for the wife, is to love her husband. The same as the husband is supposed to love the wife is supposed to love her husband. And that scripture you could draw on is from Titus chapter 2, verse 4.
Doesn't it mean a lot to you to know that you are I'm your number one fan.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're talking about, guys and gals.
And that you have my back.
I have his back 100%.
Even when I mess up.
Exactly. We'll talk about it later. But I've got his back 100%. And he needs to know, ladies, that we are their number one fan. We love them. We adore them. We respect them. Yeah, they mess up. Yeah, things go on. We do the same thing. You're not perfect. I'm not perfect. He's not perfect. But it's very important to know that your lady's got your back.
Mm-hmm.
That she's there for you.
Yeah.
Right?
You're right.
So wives love, we nurture, we care, we're helpers, and we give companionship.
Mm-hmm.
We have all the feels.
Yeah.
The wives have all the feels. So gender roles.
The guys are functional.
Yeah.
You know, like, and, okay, what do you need me to do? How do you want me to do it?
Right. They're fixers.
It's those kinds of things. We're fixers.
Yeah. So, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because gender roles, male and female roles in biblical, it's marriages. It's a team effort.
It's a team effort.
We complement each other and are strengthened in our weaknesses.
We represent different things. You know, wives are nurturers. Yep. Men tend to not be nurturers. Yeah. And so that is a necessary thing for even raising and rearing children is to have those specific skill sets, specific by design of God, to really make the family unit a whole, not just a part.
Exactly. So when we're able to really humble ourselves, submit, and really embrace the God-given gender roles in biblical marriage, it just brings joy, security, vitality. It brings all of the blessings and promises of God for your marriage into your relationship. And that's what you and I are experiencing. Mm-hmm. We are experiencing the goodness of God in our relationship.
Yes.
And we're also experiencing the goodness of God in our relationship so our children can see that, our friends can see that. So we're leaving a legacy for biblical marriage out there that we can be proud of. That's just so needed in this world today.
And we're representing God on the earth. God, I think we talked about this the other day, but God is represented through marriage upon the earth. He does everything through marriage.
That's right.
If you think about it, there's not going to be more people if there wasn't a marriage, right? It takes a man and a woman to create a child.
Right.
God works through marriage, and as long as we are aligning ourselves with the biblical roles of what marriage looks like, then we're going to flourish as a family. We're going to flourish and have blessing in our life.
That's right.
Because God wants that. Because God honors biblical marriage, and He wants to work through us to show Himself to the world.
That's right.
Because His nature and His character comes through our marriage if we're doing it His way.
And God desires to give good gifts to His children, to those that delight in Him and obey His commandments.
Yeah.
So we're certain, I know I am certain, there have been questions that have been piqued or provoked during this podcast. If you have any questions at all, send them to marriageminute@revivalnow.com. We will address them on our next podcast. We want the questions. We encourage questions.
Our podcast comes out every Tuesday.
Every Tuesday
morning. And so you can catch us there on all the different platforms, from Spotify to Apple to Google. I don't know, Breaker.
Yep, all
so
of those
many different
platforms.
Yeah, if you check out our website at revivalnow.com, and you go to the media tab and you drop down, you can find us there and connect to our Marriage Minute podcast that way. Really easy to do.
Catch us live every Wednesday morning, 11 a.m. Revivalnow.com. You can check us out there. You can find us on YouTube, and you can find us on Facebook.
Yep.
All right.
Well, that's it. Well, thanks for joining us today.
All right. We love you guys. Thank you for listening. Send us your questions. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening today. Catch all of our podcasts at revivalnow.com and send us your Marriage Minute questions at marriageminute@revivalnow.com.